Welcome to episode 240 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
On the show page will be lots of links with more information and details. And you can find all that by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
Humans.
Humans.
They're made of meat.
And they're delicious. Wait. Well,
Whoa. This episode took a turn.
It took a turn. Everything is going horribly wrong. So, I just found out that the Dorg are smarter than the figures ever were.
Congratulations.
We're very excited about that. It's the digital organisms. I'm not going to explain it now because blog posts do much better on blog posts than they do on the podcast. So, they are there at the lab with the, Brad.com.
This is your second attempt at a digital organism?
Oh, good Lord. Not second since I started the show.
Oh, okay. Second that I've been paying attention to.
I have lost count.
Okay.
Right. I mean, there were nymphs, there were grubs, there were figures, there were dorg, and a few before that I don't think I even named. Huh. But it's very important that whatever else happens with the project, that it does have a good name.
You got to call them something.
Yes, right. So let's talk about humans and the evolution of intelligence.
Okay.
And we covered some of that along with some other noise.
Mwah.
On Monday. I haven't looked up a damn thing. I do want to mention that there is no episode next week.
Okay.
For next week is Halloween. Vacation. But we'll be back on November 7th.
Ah, where we will talk about other things.
And then we'll be gone again the next week because of Veterans Day.
Man, okay.
And then we'll be back again, and then we'll be gone again for Turkey Day. But I'm going to talk about the monkeys episode anyway. There's something to... We're talking about those cotton top tamarans, right?
Oh, yeah.
Less than a pound, squirrel-sized monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Lives in South America, natively, anyway.
Cute.
And they kept talking about how it's got like 38 different calls.
Mm-hmm.
And grammar.
Uh-huh.
I looked all over the place trying to figure out what they mean by grammar for this monkey. Monkey.
Yeah.
Monkey. And I couldn't find anything about the tamarans. But I did find something about grammar and some other little monkeys. And I guess the notion is they have calls for different things. Like, you know, here's a predator.
Mm-hmm.
And they will modify that call by adding other calls to say something like, you know, here's a predator, but it's way over there. Just keep an eye out. Everything's okay. Huh. Or, here's a predator. Haul ass. Run!
Okay.
So yeah, they got modified. It's grammar in the simplest way possible. I did see one study about cotton top tamarans compared to human infants.
Oh.
And how complicated the grammar they can understand is. And the tamarans can handle two words.
Oh, look at that.
A two-word grammar rule, that's it.
Hey, you. Okay.
This is weird, though, Isab. Their reproductive strategy is a borderline social insect-like.
Okay.
Not quite like the naked mole rats or honeybees or ants, but there's a dominant couple.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones who do the business
mm-hmm.
to make the babies. Nobody else gets to do the business.
Well, okay.
It's usually the female who's dominant, by the way.
How do they enforce that?
Saw a paper on that, too. Apparently, it's a hormonal thing. Oh, as long as there's a dominant female around, the other females aren't in the mood.
What a weird world.
Yeah, and then it can take like up to 6 to 8 years. But eventually, females who weren't dominant in one group will go find a new group where they are dominant. And it underlines how much energy it takes to grow a lot of neurons and use them. One little monkey can't raise one little monkey by herself. She needs that whole little troop.
So they've turned to one pair breeding style, and then everybody else raises them.
Mm-hmm. So any news with storms or... Hey, you saw a meteor.
I did, actually. Haley's Comet came and went. By this time.
That was decades ago.
I mean, the refuse, the leavings, the tail.
The meteor shower associated with Halley's Comet as the Earth passes through its former orbit.
We smacked into it, and it made the lights flash across the sky. I only saw one.
Yeah, well, when they say meteor shower, it doesn't mean you're going to see whoosh, 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 whoosh. No, no, no. There's one.
Yeah, you got to be patient.
Wait for it. So you're talking like it's already Thursday, right? Because here we are on actual Monday.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be the peak time, even as we speak.
It's happening right now. We can't see it.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, you're in the basement. I'm in a tiny windowless room.
I bet the sun is out.
Oh, also, I'm blind. That thing, too.
Oh, that, too. People. People can't see it.
Right. Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm sorry. Earthquakes. There's a tie for 6.4, but the most recent was 6.4, and it's northwest. I'm making up direction. Northwest of New Caledonia.
Oh, Caledonia. What makes your big head so hard? That's borderline singing. I'll stop that now.
And that's northwest of Australia. So, you know, same place. And
I'm glad you told me, because I had no idea where Caledonia was. Northwest of Australia.
West. And Oregon is still doing its thing.
Is that the other 6.4?
No, the other 6.4 was in the Philippines.
Ah.
Same general area. It's north.
And it was a few thousand miles one direction or another.
Oceania? Or what did we... I don't know. They collectively decided to call all that islandness Oceania, I think.
Actually, I've heard that. Geographers talk about it almost like it's a continent.
Yeah, yeah.
And surface area-wise, if you could, like, shove everything together, then that would be way over 6.4. You'd be a supervillain.
Otherwise, windy. There's a cyclone south of Japan right now. I don't know if it's a hurricane. I don't know if it's got a name. But it's there.
But you just saw the twisty?
Yeah.
You were saying that you've been looking at other altitudes just of late.
Well, yeah, you asked me to. You said, what's a jet stream? And I'm like, the higher up you go, the faster the air.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's stuff up there in the stratosphere where it's going like 100 plus miles an hour all the time. That's not a storm. That's just what happens.
Yeah. You look at that. You wonder about the planes are flying at what? 10,000? 20,000? I don't know. They're way up there.
Yeah.
It's windy up there. Why would...
Well, if you got it as a tailwind, you could save a chunk of fuel.
Yeah.
It's good to know which wind is going what direction. They have charts.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least I have faith that they have charts.
If you're flying an airplane, you're probably way
if
more
I'm
aware.
I'm flying an airplane, something is terribly wrong.
Of the weather that I am.
Anyway, I think that you know what? This is enough of this.
All right. Done.
So there are some questions about intelligence. Why doesn't every critter get smart? They all went through relatively the same thing.
My brains seem to be good.
All else being equal, being smarter seems better.
Okay. Yeah.
But apparently, brains are expensive.
Uh-huh.
Not just brains or big brains, but brains with lots of neurons.
Yes.
Energetically expensive. Like, you know, we were talking about the tamarans.
That's right.
They're borderline usosol. If that's how you... I'm still not sure how to pronounce that.
That's right.
They're like almost bees. Or ants or wasps or cockroaches or naked mole rats. just because it takes so much energy to live their lives and also raise their little children.
Ah.
So they end up with all the... You know, they keep talking about these things that are supposedly correlated with intelligence, and it looks like a lot of those are effects rather than causes.
Okay.
Just because you have to deal with so much energy put into your offspring. Yeah, you bet. Cooperative breeding? Is that the term I want? Cooperative childcare.
Yeah, aha.
All the way. Because a lot of what you are going to learn as a larger brain critter is... learned through association and observation rather than just genetics.
Mm-hmm.
Long childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these things sort of come together. It gets even worse as you get to be a big ape. Turns out gorilla. Eat for like 9 hours out of the day.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. gorillas and orangutans. I didn't get a figure on the chimpanzees. I looked. They pretty much forage all the time. That doesn't tell me anything. How about an actual number?
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, imagine this. Hey, you're going to work later and do the graveyard shift, right?
Right.
So you're there all day.
Uh-huh.
And you drive home. You take about an hour to get here.
Uh-huh.
And now you're finally thinking, hey, I want some dinner.
Right.
Now, if you're a gorilla, you're like, oh, thank God I'm done eating dinner. You would have been doing it all that time.
Ah, that's my job. I just run around and eat whatever I can find.
So, if brains are that expensive, why does any critter go for the intelligent approach?
I like my brains. I mean,
I have some theories.
Okay.
That I've collected over the last 2 years plus of doing this show.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to test them, we're going to need thousands of mice.
Okay.
Because I'm hungry. What is it with me and eating things today? Okay.
I don't know.
I actually don't want thousands of mice either to eat or to experiment
That's
with.
That's just a thing.
Just you can imagine what the house would smell like.
Oh, gosh. Curious humans equals mice. That's
right. So I would like to take some mice and breed them to a larger size. I want to start with some species of mice that's like fits in the easily within the palm of my hand, not including their cute little crooked tail, and breed them up to, I don't know, cat size.
Okay. Okay. They were cute.
Now, if you recall, in episode 238, we were talking about dogs, and that guy did that experiment with breeding foxes.
That's right.
To be more tolerant of humans.
Yeah.
And it also caused all sorts of changes in the fox's body.
Mm-hmm.
Floppy ears, narrow curly tail, variegated coat.
Mm-hmm.
Variegated.
Motley.
Motley coat.
Okay. They got cute.
Yes, they did. You can't do one thing when you're breeding.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not actually breeding an animal. You're breeding a collection of trillions or quadrillions of cells that all work together.
So, yeah. So there's going to be extra stuff. So it'll be a big cat-sized cute mouse.
One can always hope. By the way, I was thinking a dainty cat breed, not like a Maine Coon.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that makes it perfectly all right.
Thank God.
But what we're testing is this notion that as you scale up as a mammal, you get a bigger brain.
Right.
Bigger neurons, but also more neurons.
Okay.
So what we'd do is we'd breed them up to a decent size, and then we'd count their neurons.
Yeah, huh? How do you do that?
Well, you do have to kill the...
Yeah.
There's more than one method, but the one that's getting the attention these days, the first thing you do is you take the mouse brain and stick it in a blender.
I am glad you don't want pets now.
Oh, come on. This is where we're starting to get into trouble, right? Like, especially when they're still the size of my you know, still sitting in the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get that little tiny brain out of a little tiny skull?
Very tiny chisel?
Very tiny chisel. Wielded by what?
You need to make friends with gnomes. Okay.
Anyway, that's one thing to test.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the usual get bigger, get more neurons. It's just part of the process.
Yeah, okay.
And I can see how that could happen. If you look back at episode 195 and 196, when we talked about how baby grows its brain.
Yeah.
And how neurons find their home.
Which is way more complicated than I thought it was.
Yes.
Everything's moving.
It's like cells self-organize.
Right.
And if they didn't, then adding more neurons probably wouldn't make anybody any smarter. If you just add them higgledy-piggledy.
I've got a neuron in my foot. It doesn't tell me much.
Yeah, even in the brain, you just add them wherever without connecting them up in a rational way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to help. But the neurons, all the information to make the brain is not in the DNA. A lot of what happens is decided locally. A bunch of neurons get together.
And, hey, man, what's up?
During the process, they even will stick out little bits of their cell, you know, that way and then pull it back and that way and pull it back. And this happens over a time scale of seconds to minutes.
Oof.
So pretty fast.
Yeah.
And this is still in utero.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of sniff each other out and eventually go, you know what we need to do? We need to be a visual cortex.
I want to see. Okay.
Yeah. And if that didn't happen, like I said, adding more neurons probably wouldn't make you any smarter. But there's a lot of organization that happens on the cellular level. Not just in the brain either. This also happens in things like the liver, muscles, the heart, all sorts of stuff.
Locally. Cool.
Then we have primates.
Aha.
Who decided that if we're going to have a bigger brain, we're going to have lots more neurons.
Okay. They just went big. Everything went big. Okay.
Well, more.
More. I'm sorry.
Now, this one's interesting. I saw a study on comparing numbers of neurons within a mice population. Not different species. All mice.
My mice is the pieces. Okay.
And what they found is that those individuals who had the most neurons weren't necessarily possessed of the largest brains.
Okay.
What they would do is have more and smaller neurons.
Oh, okay.
Again, packed in. Presumably with the same self-organizing principles.
Were they smarter?
Like don't know. The paper did not talk about that.
Oh, thanks, paper.
But let's back up and take these tiny little mice and breed them for high neuron counts.
Okay.
Because I want to start with the little ones and see if we can establish a more primate-like scaling rule for the brain. And then breed them up big again.
Okay.
And see if they keep making more tiny neurons instead of larger neurons, and just a little bit more of them.
I see a problem.
What? How do you know who has the most neurons?
Yeah.
I mean, how do they breed after you puree there? If it takes a blender,
yeah.
I got a couple of ideas on that. Either you could let all the mice breed.
Yeah.
Keep the various broods separate until you euthanize the parents.
Oh.
And then count the neurons and then continue with the litters from those parents who had the most neurons.
Okay.
Or you have to resort to artificial insemination, which has got to be difficult when the critter is... I'm going to implant these tiny little embryos into this tiny little mouse. we're not doing this. I'd also like to try, first breeding them up to like cat size, and then select for more neurons.
I see great reasons to have digital organisms all of a sudden.
Oh yeah, because they don't have the same restrictions.
Yeah,
and this is how it worked for us. Right? Mm-hmm. We know this works because we're here.
That's right.
Yeah. But it's not necessarily the only way it'll work.
Right.
Although,
I
have seen in Polyworld, they originally didn't have any cost to having large brains.
Okay.
And what they got are huge brains that did nothing. Yeah, digital organisms generally don't have the same self-organizing magic. I mean, if we can suss out that algorithm, we got it made in the shade.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But what happened with the primates? Bink, 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 bink. Well, I got to think, first of all, you just end up. Part of your population has more neurons than the rest.
Okay.
And then something has to happen to where that part of the population becomes dominant. Genetically, reproductively.
Mm-hmm.
I hear rumors that the first primates may have appeared as long ago as 65 million years.
Ooh.
And one paper suggested 85 million years in the middle of the Cretaceous.
Wow. Okay.
Now, there's a good reason to be smarter. You are dodging dinosaurs.
You don't have time to sit around and go, what is that?
Now, you might ask, well, why didn't all the mammals get smarter then? They were all under the same pressure. Well, because they didn't, is the short answer. That sounds flippant, and it
is.
But if they didn't happen to stumble on the right mutations or the right breeding population, then it just wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Got to remember, there is some randomness in evolution. The first recognizable primate, and they still kind of debate whether or not it is, they're basing it off of its teeth, which is almost all they've seen of it. It was roughly the size of a rat, and it lived in North America, of all places.
Wow. Hey.
I
thought everything was from Africa.
They've seen its teeth. They've seen its ankle bones.
Oh, cool.
Judging by its ankle bones, it could rotate its feet 180 degrees.
Why?
Which means they were probably tree climbers.
Okay.
Like modern squirrels and raccoons able to go down the trunk of a tree head first.
Ah.
The next part of the story is that primates got bigger.
Right.
Some primates started moving out into the savannah.
Mm-hmm.
And that seemed to mean that they needed to be bigger about it.
big, okay.
You really see them in the Miocene, the apes, spread out and diversify. They're characterized by having small or even non-existent tails.
Okay.
And being big. Relatively upright posture, long arms, flat fingernails. You've seen them.
This is on the way to the gorilla?
This is on the way to gorillas and hominids.
Oh, okay, cool.
And chimpanzees and bonobos and... never mind. Anyway.
Okay, yes, on the way.
That, as long as you keep the same scaling rule, more neurons as you get bigger, you're going to get more clever critters.
Okay.
And it has been shown that even though chimpanzees, for example, fall a little below the line, where primates would be, fewer neurons than expected for their size.
Mm-hmm.
They're still smart enough to use tools.
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere in there, I'm hearing anywhere from 3 to 5 million years ago,
okay,
the first hominids show up.
Hey.
Things like Homo erect, no, that came later. Australopithecus.
Homo what now? Okay. Yeah.
They were tool users.
Okay.
But somewhere around 1.9, maybe 2 million years ago,
okay,
there was a weakening of the jaw, smaller teeth, less complicated gut. It's theorized that that's about when we learned to cook.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we don't need strong teeth and whatnot. Our gut doesn't need to be that interesting because we can cook it.
We can cook it. And I did actually find information. Remember, I was worried that I wouldn't be able to get past the diet pages.
Yeah.
There is actual evidence that, yes, cooking makes things easier to eat, easier to chew, easier to digest. Generally speaking, you get more nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
There are some exceptions. It also tends to kill off microbes and other pathogens.
And it's tastier.
So suddenly, our ancestors had way more energy and all the time in the world to try and figure out how a skinny little easily bruised, clawless, fangless, weak, oversized, slow ape could become the best hunter on the planet.
We don't have much going for us.
Other than the brain.
Yeah.
And within about 2 million years, the brain size of the hominid line tripled, more or less, going from around 30 billion neurons to around 86 billion neurons. Almost triple. Not quite.
Hmm.
And so that is the story of the evolution of our intelligence, or at least the most coherent sort of quasi-theoretical picture I've been able to quasi-put together.
So what I got was best hunter and cooking means everything around us becomes food.
We eat anything and everything. I remember a Boy Scout manual explaining how to make poison ivy edible.
See?
Boil it, strain it, boil it, strain it, boil it. We even eat the ground we walk on, quite literally. There are places in Africa where the local people eat the mud. It's got trace elements they otherwise don't get in their diet.
Thank goodness for mud. So, there's your caloric requirements for a brain. Solved!
Eat the mud. Anyway, there is no episode next week. It's Halloween. You want to talk about complicated cognitive things? We made up the idea of holidays.
Yeah. And we put them all at the end of the year.
Anyway, we will be back on the 7th of November with more science stuff. And we'll see you then.
Bye.